Let's hear a little about how Archer felt about composing and what she was like as a person.
Well, I don't know if I'm really conscious of tailoring what I'm writing, but I'm terribly conscious of the idea that what I'm doing should project, you see. And the result is that maybe in my own subconscious I am tailoring it, you know. But I can't say that I would consciously do it that way. It's just that I have the desire to communicate. In all of my compositions that I do, I've never felt, oh, well, I'm writing this piece, but I don't care a rap if anybody wants to hear it except me. I don't feel that way, you see. I don't think that is a positive approach to art. I think that it should be something that one needs to establish a contact with other human beings.
She had a little bit of a breakdown, and she was on medication more or less for the rest of her life. She was so excitable. That's really what it was. And then when she got the right medication, she was fine. She was rather a lonely person. She lived with cats, her cats, who she adored, Fugie and Sonny. That's for Fugetta and Sonatina. She was passionate about her family. She had endless nieces and nephews and great-nieces and great-nephews. She contacted every one of them, always. At Christmas time, they all heard from Violet. She knew what everyone was doing, all their names, their ages, which is really quite remarkable when she didn't see them all that often, especially the ones living in Italy. But when she did go to Italy, she was treated so warmly by all of them. So there was that side that not many other people saw. She lived a very modest life. In fact, I used to think that she lived the life almost like a nun, because composition and music was her religion.
Here are some words about her teaching from two of her students.
I realized I was in the presence of somebody who thought very deeply about music, who thought very carefully about music, and had extraordinary high standards about what music was. It actually had to communicate something. It had to be well constructed, but it had to sound well. There was no attempt to just be anonymous and hide behind technique or hide behind fashion or anything like that. You actually had to come out and actually demonstrate that you had a soul and that it was going to come through the music.
Our analysis classes were in this incredibly small classroom. And the whole front was a blackboard with this upright piano in it. And you'd walk into this classroom, we'd trudge in, there'd be a dozen or so of us, and this little dynamo would come in with her stack of books and plop them down and walk up to the blackboard and just start writing things and start talking on it. And just this sense of energy when she walked into the room was just, you know, whoa, get going, open your notebooks, here we go. And it was just the joy of talking about what she was presenting that day. You know, scattered sometimes, her brain was so full of ideas, she'd talk about one thing, and all of a sudden she'd change gears over to this, and, oh yeah, we have to go back to this. And so there was this sense of energy that was always there.
And it was really important to her that students develop their own voices. There was a concert at Banff where some music by Robert Rosen and Vivian Fung and a young student who was in his teens, and my music, and some of Violet's, kind of a tribute concert to her a few years before she died. And one of the things that was really quite remarkable was that there were five completely different composers on display there, a totally different way of thinking. And we pointed that out to her after the concert, and I think the biggest smile I'd ever seen on her face, it was as if we'd given her the most perfect tribute to her life's work that she had made such a strong impression on five composers, and not one of them sounded like her. That was the best tribute anyone could give her.
Now, we'll hear the cantata that Violet Archer wrote when she was still a student in 1949, entitled The Bell, and using text taken from John Donne's Sermons and Devotions, it presents a philosophical view of death and man's relationship to God, both on earth and in heaven.